Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes aquí en la Florida.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present here in La Florida, Santiago, Chile. It is truly a great blessing and privilege that God grants me to be here with you again. I am very happy to be here. How the Word makes the effect of the good ground. And how this beautiful atmosphere, even coming in, the presence of the Lord could be felt. I thank the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, who also allows me to be here with him on this trip and to share with all of you this beautiful fellowship around the Word and his program for this end time. I was here on a Sunday 17th of 2002. Months after our brother Miguel prayed for me at the request of Dr. William Soto Santiago in June and in November of that year, a trip was made in which I was here. And notice today, November 17th, once again I'm here, under the fulfillment of the seventh seal. Let us search in our Bibles while you find Revelation chapter 8. So my wife Sarah and Julian are also with me. May God bless them. And they are with me, accompanying me on this trip. They are of a great blessing. And to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries. And they're in Puerto Rico. May God bless you greatly as well. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and casted it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. On this occasion, we will be watching the mystery that caused silence in heaven. He preached this message on Saturday, November 15, 2003, here in Santiago, Chile. The mystery that caused silence in heaven. You may please be seated.
como es que
how is it
se cumple
that en cada ocasión que in each occasion in which we gather that scripture is fulfilled, which was spoken by Jesus, who said, wherever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Eagles have gathered together here from all over Chile. And they are here in this morning to be fed with the word. In the book of the seals, our brother Branham tells us on page 372, on paragraph 440, it says, notice this now. Now, if there is no altar of sacrifice in heaven, where is the sacrifice for sin laying then? It's the lamb. Above that paragraph, he writes Revelation 5, 1 to 7, and Revelation 15, 1 to 5. Now notice in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, it says, verse 4, it says, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And here he writes, Revelation 11, and also 7, verse 1, and 14, verse 1. He draws Star of David there next to verse 5. He goes on saying here in the Book of the Seals, there has to be a place where that slain lamb bloody is laying there, where the blood, it... Now, the incense was the odors, stuff that they burnt, which the Bible said was the prayers of the saints. If there ain't no sacrifice on the altar, then the prayers cannot be received. It's only by blood on the sacrifice altar that lets the prayer go through God. There to the right, he drew a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice, he wrote, here in this little space for notes, he writes, the half hour of silence and the things that happen. He comes from mediation in the last seal as lion, king. And he writes there, king, because he has the title deed. Because he has the title deed. As simple as that. He comes from mediation in the last seal as lion, as king, because he has the title deed. That is, the property deed. Now, look on 3:16, also in the Book of the Seals. He tells us, we have skipped about on these four seals, first four seals. Now tomorrow night, we change the scene. For the earth, things going on. He looks up and he sees the soul under the altar, the sacrificed altar. The next night, the judgment strikes. And the fourth night of the last night, Sunday night, I don't know what. I don't know what this other means. I just read them as you did. But there was silence for half an hour. And to the right there, he drew a cornerstone. And he writes silence. And he writes half an hour. But there is something took place. I'm expecting him to reveal it. He'll do it. I'm satisfied he will. In other words, that there are things, notice, that happened under that half hour of silence. In the message, looking beyond the sunset, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, which was preached on January 30th of 1994, in Calle, Puerto Rico, it says, and notice, those are the things that pertain to the half hour of silence, because during the half hour of silence of heaven and in heaven, a number of things would be happening on earth which God had appointed in His Word. And He tells us in the Book of Quotations, on page 86, which corresponds to an excerpt that is here of the Book of the Seals. And in the Book of the Seals is on page 94 to also see there page 86 of quotations, paragraph 731, it says, but remember, these seals are ready to be opened, and the Lamb come from the sanctuary of God advanced forward. Wait till we get over there that 1 hour, take that one half hour that it's silent. The sanctuary is smoking. There is no more intercession. The sacrifice has left. It's a judgment seat. There is no blood on it no more. For the blood-covered lamb has walked away. And there to the left, he draws a cornerstone and he writes half an hour. And above, he writes, the half hour of silence since the lamb as intercessor leaves the throne of the Father. In other words, the half hour of silence, notice, could not have happened before he finished the work of intercession. Therefore, you can already know that while everything that belonged to the dispensation of grace was being carried out, the half hour of silence was not being fulfilled in heaven. Now notice that page from that excerpt in the Book of the Seals, so that we can see there, like halfway through the page, there in the version that I'm reading here, in the translation of this Book of Quotations, which was one of the first one, or the first one, here in the Book of the Seals, where he tells us, let us read that paragraph 201, says, remember, he had been on his mediatorial work back here. But remember, the seals are ready to be opened, and the Lamb come from the sanctuary of God and advance forward. Wait till we get over there that 1 hour, take that one half hour, that is silent. The sanctuary is smoking. There is no more intercession. The sacrifice has left. It's judgment seat. There is no blood on it no more, for the blood-covered lamb have walked away. Don't you wait till that time. And to the right, he writes, judgment. And to the left, he writes, going upward, half hour of silence equals smoke in the sanctuary. Revelation 8, 1 to 5. Now notice in this next paragraph from that same page on the Book of Quotations, page 86, which is page 95 on the seals. It says, his intercessory days is over, the mediatorial days. That's when the angel is going to stand there. You wait till we get in the seals, and time shall be no more. That's right. That half hour of silence, and he writes there to the left, half hour. Watch what takes place in that half hour of silence when that seventh seal, next Sunday night, the Lord willing. And at the top there, he writes on the Book of Quotations, the seventh seal, in the half hour of silence, the angel, and the time of intercession shall be no more. Now notice how all of that took place so simple at the human sight. Notice on page 80. Halfway the paragraph, it says, now, one of the moments where he stopped crying was when I pronounced those words and I told him, here I am. In other words, notice how that sadness that he had, but he was crying, but as a baby would cry, screaming. He had no consolation. And suddenly, that sadness turned into joy. He was even hungry. In other words, he said, is there something to eat? So he changed immediately. How one understands, each time more and more, all those things that happened, how they were manifested in that man, and how he was showing there, and how he let us see that what John was going through, because remember that it is the same Holy Spirit, the one that was working in him, is the same one, but with a veil of flesh. See? That's it. The person must move behind the veil and see the work that the one that's back there is carrying out, regardless of the veil of flesh that is there. He worked in Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Colombo, Luther. He changed names, but he is the same one. He is the same one, the same one, the same one, the same one. And at the end, he's incarnate, and he's still the same one. He's still the I Am, changing his mask, his veil of flesh. And there when he looks, look, John wept much. If he didn't come forward, everything was lost. Then, what happened 2,000 years ago was worthless. The work of redemption. Everything would be lost. But thanks to God that he presented himself. And he said, here I am. But no longer as a lamb, but as a lion. Blessed are those eagles who have seen him, as John saw him, as our brother William saw him. And that sadness became happiness, joy. Behold the Lamb of God, said John. But the elder said, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." But when he looked, but he knew him as a lamb. But when the elder told him, "That is a lion," he had changed from lamb to lion. The intercessory days were over, and he was coming to claim. That work was a claiming work. Therefore, we are already seeing what things he will be carrying out in that claiming work, in that work within the half hour of silence. Those are the things that he would be carrying out to claim. Now notice, let us read on that paragraph on page 95. He says, John was weeping. Where is it all at all? What's going to happen? Said, "Don't weep, John," said the elder. "Here comes the lion." He was the one prevailed. When he looked, here come a lamb, bloody, that had been slain. Anything that's killed is bloody, you know. It's been killed. Its neck has been chopped open or something. The blood is all over it. Here comes a lamb being slain, and he came forth, oh my, what? To make his claim on his redemption. See? Amen. Oh, oh. Don't you just feel like just going over in a corner, sit down and cry a while? Amen. Here come a lamb, still bloody. Here come a lamb, still bloody. John, there wasn't nothing there. All the celebrity was standing around, but there was none of them could do it. So here come the lamb. Now, his intercessory days is over, the mediatorial days. That's when this angel is going to stand there. Just wait till we get in the seals, and time shall be no more. Did he say it or not? He said that time for the dispensation of grace is no more. That's right. That half hour of silence. Watch what takes place in that half hour of silence. When that seventh seal, next Sunday night, the Lord willing. And I think it was here in Chile, a message that he preached, where he said, the half hour of silence hasn't begun yet, but it will begin. Verify it, please. I think it was here, in Chile, in Talcahuano. He said, the half hour of silence had not yet begun, but it will begin. Today, in Chile, I tell you, the half hour of silence already began. We already are in that half hour of silence. And to the left, notice there on page 80, he writes, the seals themselves. He writes future. And also, Romans 8:14. And also Revelation 10:1-11. And he writes, half hour of silence. Now notice, our brother William continues to say in this message that I'm reading, now notice how all of this that is in the most holy place, just before this, where we stopped, to finish that paragraph. Therefore, notice, there was silence in the most holy place, but a work was carried out in the most holy place once a year. Now, notice how all these things that are in the most holy place are a type and figure of the things that will be happening at the end time. And they are things of which heaven kept silent. In the message, Christ is revealed in His own word, tells us on page 35, on this message. Now notice the light. You can't see with your hands, yet it's part of your body. You can't see with the ears, yet it can hear. You can't see with the nose, yet it smells. You can't see with the lips, though it speaks. See? That was the Pentecostal age. But now, it's in the eye time, the seeing. See? Now, there isn't one moving faculty beyond the eye. Is that right? The next thing is intelligence, which is Christ himself, who controls the whole body. No moving, and there he writes silence. No moving, motion beyond that. And today you are within the intelligence of Christ. We are in the mind of the Anointed One, of the Logos, the Shekinah, in the most holy place. We are receiving the thoughts of God, the hidden ones, the ones He kept for this end time. See? Move your feet, move your muscles in your legs, move everything. Move your ears. Those who can't move their ears, but look, I can move them back. See, I moved them. My dad teach me that. He can move everything on his head. And I tried to imitate him, and then I learned. I keep reading. Your ears can move, your nose, your lips, and so forth. But after your eyes, there is nothing. And he writes, only silence. There is nothing moves. That's why they claim that men get bald-headed quick. It's because, see, there is no exercise to develop the muscles in the hair, the scalp. See? And it's not got a cushion so that they can get blood up in there. The blood won't pump through, so you won't go up and furnish blood, because the hair root lives by blood. And there he writes, there is no blood in the age of the mind. And there he draws a Star of David, and below he draws the cornerstone and the ages. Now, take this along with page 323 or 325, which we read. And put that together with that page. And there you will have that result. Like 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now notice, he continues to say, we find that heaven had to stay in silent in order for these things to take place on earth without being interrupted until it's all finished. Notice, it is a work without interruption because it's consecutive. It is a consecutive work. In the message, the way of a true prophet tells us on page 46, if a lion roars, who will not fear? When God speaks, who can keep from prophesying? When God speaks, the prophet cries. Know what I mean? The true prophet cries. Friends, he has spoken. Then, let every creature of his kingdom take heed to what he said. There to the left he writes, lion. Then he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 11. If a lion can recognize that there is something wrong, when he roars, everything of his kingdom hushes. That elephant there that can pick up the lion and wheel him around and let a lion roar, he'll shut up and stand still. Let the cave buffalo, let the rhino, with his 7 tons of armor, pierce him, and his big snout. Let a lion roar, they stop in their tracks. But there are some who want to show off. But notice how the jungle, the animals, give us a teaching. What's the matter? His king has spoken, see? He wants to hear what's going to be said. And when God speaks, the prophet cries, and then let his kingdom take heed to what he is saying. God has spoken. Let every creature of his kingdom listen to what he is saying. And in the prayer he says, let's pray. O lion of the tribe of Judah, rise up and roar. Thou art roaring in this last day. Your eyes are narrowed. You're looking down. You're seeing the sin of this so-called Christian nation and world. You're seeing their sin of this nation when it's being bought with precious blood. You're seeing how the denominations are wadding over your word. See how the false prophets are lying. God's truth they are denying. Roar, O Lion of Judah, let your prophets cry out. When God speaks, who can keep from prophesying? Is the word of God coming out of the Bible, moving up through the prophet? How can he hold his peace? If he would, he'll blow to pieces. O God, let your prophet roar, Lord. And that was spoken by the forerunner. And today, that is a reality. The one he foreshadowed is roaring today. Roar out your message, God, and let every creature of your kingdom take heed. May they stop. May the women stop and examine themselves. May the men stop and examine themselves. May every preacher that listens to this tape stop and examine himself, for the lion of the tribe of Judah roars, and the true word coming to the prophet speak, cry out, repent, and turn back before it's too late. God, I commit the message on the tape and in this visible audience to you this morning, for trusting you'll prove it, and call every son and daughter of God that's ever heard this tape or under the sound of the voice, they'll back to repentance before it's too late. Now remember what he told us on page 424 of the Book of the Seals, where the mercy of God was for the last time, and the warning that was being given, that was being said, and that later on, Brother Branham there says that they had been in meetings like this one, that they knew the things that the prophets had predicted. They were facing everything that they had predicted. But they spurned God's mercy for the last time. Now notice where the mercy of God is for the elect of God. In those ministries. Now you go on joining together that page 385. Can you see the picture? Now notice. Amen? Amen. Look in the Book of the Seals. There is a place here in page 392 where he tells us. Because remember that there is a work there. And it says, on paragraph 110, it says, now it was the martyrs in the tribulation, on the pre-tribulation of Achman. Now they only type the martyrs of the 144,000, which we're entering into between the sixth and seventh seal, see? And the seventh seal is just one thing. That's all. And this, it was silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. There to the left he writes, silence, half an hour. And he also writes, silence in heaven for half an hour in the seventh seal. Silence in heaven for half an hour in the seventh seal. And now only God can reveal that. It's not even symbolized nowhere. Who is the only one who can reveal the seventh seal? God. The Holy Spirit. On 403, also tells us there. Now, about tomorrow night, on this, Jesus omitted the teaching of the seventh seal. It's not here. Watch, he goes right on with parables now after that. And John omitted the seventh seal. The seventh, last, the seventh seal, that's going to be a great thing. That's going to be something great. But at the same time, he said that the greater it is, the simpler it would be. Seeing the simplicity and the simpleness, we are seeing the great thing, because it's what's behind. And who is behind? The Great One, God, who makes himself humble, makes himself simple. It's not even written, see? Omitted the seventh seal, both of them did. And the Revelator, when God just said there was, John said, there was just silence in heaven. Jesus never said a word about it. There he writes to the right, half an hour. And he also writes, silence for half hour. He wrote it to the left, upward, silence for half hour. He writes, seventh seal, Jesus omitted it. Because he began to speak in parables. He began to speak of the fig tree, which is Israel. Now, our brother William continues to say here, but in heaven, there is silence for almost half an hour. Silence in heaven for almost half an hour, while on earth, the work of the seventh seal is carried out. The work of the angel of the covenant is being carried out of Jesus Christ in theophany, in Holy Spirit, as Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On page 106, on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 920, it tells us, look here where we're at, right here at the top of the pyramid, right here where God has proved it, that the Bible through the seven seals has perfectly been revealed. There to the right he drew a cornerstone and the ages, and he colors the inside of the cornerstone in red. Waiting only now for them seven mysteries. There he writes, thunders. Right at last, on the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church, that might happen before morning. It may happen before morning. And there to the left, there at the end, to the left, in the margin he writes, the rapture before the morning of the millennium, fourth watch. The rapture before the morning of the millennium, fourth watch. Remember what we spoke this morning. It's the end of the vials, the end of the trumpets, is the end of everything. And he says, it's the ushering in of the millennium. That is in the Book of the Seals. On 540, at the end of this seventh seal, And he writes, spare time. And of this seventh seal, above that he writes Moses and Elijah. For what the seventh seal is for the church, which is the coming of the Lord, is Moses and Elijah, the seventh trumpet for Israel. It's the same thing. For the Son of Man comes with his angels. At the end of this seventh seal. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. And even end the ushering in of the millennium. See? That's on the seventh seal. Now, there in that paragraph, 920, there on top he also writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 6. And he writes on top, the thunders in the coming of the Lord. And below he writes, waiting for the thunders at the end in the coming of the Lord. On page 549, he says here, and he quotes it, page 549 in the Book of the Seals says, you notice now for the end of time message, the seal. Which one? The seventh seal. After all, he has revealed all the six seals, but he don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. And notice, in this Book of the Seals, on page 563, it says, on that page, it says, now remember, in the vision, he never told me one thing in the vision when he took me up. And above that paragraph, he writes, he never told me one thing in the cloud of angels in the vision. And there in between above he writes, silence for about half an hour. I was scared, afraid I was going to die, be killed in an explosion, you see. They could not do it. The interpretation come just as I had need of it. That was in the room. And I gave it out just as he gave it. Remember, when he said that nothing happened to him because he was listening to, or he could hear Joseph. Therefore, there he was showing that when, notice, God took Brother Branham, Joseph remained. And when he left, notice, I could have left. But notice, he stayed, Joseph stayed. Everything was about to end. But notice, the love of God for his people. You are the apple of his eyes. In other words, you are the most valuable thing that God has. His creation. You are part of Him. That is why He says, don't touch my children, my little ones. They see the face of my Father. Glory to God. Now notice, in this message, let us stop for a moment in the one we're reading, and in this message, The Mystery of Divine Simplicity, preached on November 3rd, 1997 in Olavarria, Buenos Aires, Argentina, our brother William tells us, and now, what was happening when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Mary, and then when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea? The coming of the Messiah was beginning. Now, the seventh seal was beginning there in his first coming. When? With the birth. It began then. The seal of the coming of the Messiah was being opened. That seal was being opened there. It was at the beginning. That is why on that page of that message that we read, that he is reading that excerpt, the end time seal, when it starts, when does it start? With his birth. And now here, the second coming of Christ, which is the seventh seal, the forerunner tells us that when this end time seal starts, when it begins, it will be a absolutely total secret, according to the Bible. When the seventh seal begins, is when the coming of the Lord begins. Now, notice, the first coming of the Lord was back then. He had started with the birth of Jesus there in Bethlehem of Judea. And then he was in the midst of the Hebrew people for 29.5 years, where he grew up, became a young man, and reached adulthood, 29.5 years old. And everything was there. The seal of the first coming of Christ was open there. He had begun, but his ministry had not started yet. Now, notice, from 1974 to 2002, if you add up the days that is behind, and I'm going to tell you something, that when we were doing the calculations, on one of those times when we were talking, and I told him, it equals this here and that over there. And he tells me, how much does it come out to be? And I said, so much. But I have something left here. And he told me, did you add the 9 months in the womb? That's when all came together. That's what I was missing. In other words, about 29.5 years, a ministry began in its infancy in a simple way. That is the interlace that was being carried out in terms of ministry. Now, he continues to say, his ministry as the Lamb of God to carry out the work of redemption on Calvary's cross had not started yet. Even with 29.5 years, that ministry to carry out that work had not begun yet. But the veil of flesh that would die on Calvary's cross as Lamb of God and take away our sins was there. Now notice how the coming of the Lord was there for 29.5 years. And then his 3.5 year ministry begins. He is among the Hebrew people in his ministry, and they still don't know him, although they knew him as Jesus of Nazareth, as the carpenter from Nazareth. They did not know him or recognize him as the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, with the Spirit of God in all of his fullness. Nor did they recognize his forerunner, John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Notice on page, on the Book of the Ages, it's on page 29 of Revelation chapter 5, number 2, on paragraph 169, He tells us, now remember in the Old Testament, if a man lost his inheritance and a squatter come on his land, he could not hold it any longer for annihilation from the owner until 50 years. After 50 years, the year of Jubilee came by. And the year of Jubilee, when the year of Jubilee come along, then everything went back to its original beginning again. All slave then went back to the original beginning. If a man was hoeing in the field, and the trumpet sounded, and he heard it, he'd throw down the hoe and say, I'm no more a slave. I go back home to my family. Everything was given back. If a squatter was on the ground, he had to get off the ground. Here it said, if a squatter was on the ground, I'm reading from the booklet, he had to get off the ground. Now notice, there is when the tares have to come out. That's what the reaping angels are sent for. If a squatter was on the ground, he had to get off the ground. That's all. He got off the ground because why? The legal owner was coming back. He had to give way. On the left there in this booklet, which is equivalent to that paragraph 171 on page 699, there he writes to the left, the trumpet of the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. One of these days, the kingdoms of this world will fall, and the legal owners will come in one of these days. And there he writes to the right, Revelation 11, 15 and on. And Revelation 5, 8 to 11. Now, there was a time when it was in dispute. From the 40th day, from the beginning of the first day of the cleansing of the sanctuary. And there to the left, he draws Star of David. Or Christ went to Calvary. There was 40 days unto the ascension. It was in debate whether Satan's group would take it and say that he did not raise from the dead. Above there he writes, on that paragraph 173, the cleansing of the sanctuary, the dispute for 10 days of silence, a type of the half hour. They began to start out a proclamation along there and said, it's the disciples come and stole him by night. You've read the Bible. And he said that his people come and stole him by night and paid the soldiers money to say that. But it was in question then. Everybody was in question. Well, really, maybe it does belong to the organization then. The whole thing belongs to it. But on the 50th day was the day of Pentecost. and the legal owner come down among them. Hallelujah. And show it was not organization, that it was a filling of the Holy Ghost. That was God's earnest money to His church, that it would not be controlled by organizations and so forth. It would be the earnest of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with power and the love of God. Amen. Oh, doesn't that just do something to you? The legal possessor. Where was it at? In the hands of God. And on the... Here he should be, let's see, and in him. Let us turn to paragraph 174. See, he couldn't hold it over 50 days. There to the left, he drew a cornerstone and the ages, and the arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes going upward, he could not hold it after the 50 years, year of Jubilee. And there on that paragraph 174, on top of it, he writes, on the year of Jubilee, everything goes back to its original owner. You read that over in Leviticus, in the laws theirs. It says that they could not, the original owner. He had to go back into the hands of the original owner after 50 years. We all know that. You've read that many times, but see, had to go back to the original owner after 50 years. Now notice, continuing here, in the message, looking beyond the sunset, our brother William continues to say, after he read, and we made that pause there, in this excerpt. But let us continue here after he read paragraph from page 472 on the Book of the Seals. Our brother William continues to say, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Now, look at how the seventh seal would start to be manifested in a form in which at first no one would realize that it was the seventh seal, that it was the angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ in theophany manifesting himself in a new age and in a new dispensation and manifesting himself as the Son of Righteousness, bringing salvation to all the elect of God. The Son of Righteousness, Christ, rising in a new dispensation, and in a new age, an eternal age. On page 375, on the Book of the Ages, it tells us, the book in Spanish, edited, where the Lutheran age begins. I'm not sure if it's 424 on the other one, but both of the books in Spanish. The Lutheran age, 424? 426 in English is 375. He says, the Lutheran age was the springtime. The Wesleyan age was the summer of growth. The Laodicean age is the harvest time of gathering the tares for binding and burning, and garnering the wheat for the Lord. Harvest time. Have you noticed that in the harvest time, though there is a real acceleration in the ripening, there is a consequently a slowing of growth until there is no growth? Is that not exactly what we are seeing now? The false vine is losing multitudes to the communism and various other types of belief. Her numbers are not increasing as she would like us to think. Her hold on the people is not what it used to be. And in so many cases, going to church is just a show. And the true vine? What about her? Is she growing? Where are those vast numbers that keep coming to revivals and answering altar calls? Are not most of them merely emotional in their approach or desirous of something physical rather than desiring that which is truly spiritual? Is this age not like the day in which Noah entered the ark and the door was shut, but yet God tarried in judgment 7 days? There to the left, he writes, the days of Noah. Genesis 6. And he writes, door Noah. Not one was literally turned to God in those silent days. And he writes there, 7 days of silence and an arrow towards a cornerstone. And yet, it is the harvest time. There then must come upon the scene, in this age, those who will bring the wheat. There he circles the wheat. The wheat and the tares to maturity. The tares are already maturing very fast under corrupt teachers who turn the people from the word. There are several of those. But the wheat also must mature. And to her, God is sending the prophet messenger with the vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect. They will hear him as the first church heard Paul, and she will mature. And he drew a cornerstone to the right. And she will mature in the word until becoming a word bride. The mighty works will be found in her that are always attendant upon the pure word and faith. And to the right, he drew a cornerstone and the ages. The false church groups will come together in a world council of churches. This world council of churches is the image erected to the beast. Now, our brother William continues to say, so notice how the opening or manifestation of that seventh seal would move. Now remember on 186, 87, 88, 186, 187, 188, where it tells us there, in those pages, where he tells us, it says on page 174, it says, now, I want you to be very careful here and see this. God has promised that at the end time, Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled. It has to be, for it is the spirit-quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes the second time, by the time Jesus comes. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he underlines, Christ comes, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And above he writes, fulfill. By the time Jesus comes, all scriptures must be fulfilled. The Gentile dispensation will be in its last church age when that messenger of Malachi comes. There are two fulfillments, because it is also referring to the messenger forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. He will be right with the word. He will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He will start at the serpent's seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. But he will be rejected by the denominations. And the latter rain is the gospel of the kingdom. Now, he continues to say here, he says, so you see how the opening or manifestation of that seventh seal would move, but it would gradually be made known to God's elect who would be in that event promised for the end of time beyond the sunset. The elect who would be in that promised event. In other words, in which event? In the things that would be happening in that half hour of silence. God's elect who would be in that event promised for the end of time. We are in that event being fulfilled, being made a reality. And he said that it would be made known to the elect who would be seeing that event. Here in Chile, there is a group of elect today who are seeing that event being materialized, being fulfilled, and all those who are tuned in or connected as well. And he goes on to say, in the seals, page 541, he says, notice the breaking of the seal was so great, he's speaking about the seventh seal, that heaven was hushed by it in silence for the space of half hour. He quotes that page 465. Now notice in the message, the Feast of the Trumpets, on page 19. He tells us, page 19 it says, paragraph 148. Now let me see this right here, that every trumpet that blowed under the sixth seal. We'll get to it in a few minutes, where we caught the seal there. All the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal, because the seventh seal, there was silence. No one knew. That was the minute or hour that Christ would come, as he revealed it to us. But every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal, under the persecution of the Jews. There he writes, the half hour of silence, the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. Now notice that it was the time in which he would come. The seventh seal, there was silence. No one knew. That was the minute or hour that Christ would come. In other words, while the half hour had not begun, well, the coming of the Lord was not carried out yet in the midst of the church, because that pertains to the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Word in human flesh. When this Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, when he comes incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how is he crowned? By recognizing him. That's the crowning that the people of God, the elect of God, gives the Lord in his coming. They recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his claiming work, just as they recognize him 2,000 years ago as the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And today the elect of God recognize him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his claiming work, as the claimer. Back then, he was our Passover Lamb. Today is our Lion. And he is the same one, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same YHWH. The same one who said to Moses, I am. Tell them, I am has sent me to you. But he heard him. And then right away he named his successor Joshua, which is represented or means Savior. He heard that name, which in Hebrew are four consonants. For the pronunciation, it needs some vowels to make it pronounceable. there's a little card that I have set for a subject there in Puerto Rico, where he says certain important things there. It is already being spoken more and more plainly regarding the name, which there are things that he left for me there. You can say this and you can't say that, because there are things where imitators would always arise, and instead what they would do is hinder. And it's better that they keep thinking certain things, that they stay entertained with certain things. The elect already know. They have already learned how to read between the lines, because the same style of the Lord that He gives to His prophets in each age, the elect are already learning, and they know how to read between the lines. The rest can hear the same thing. And it is like, what did He say there? And one is rejoicing and praising God and glorifying God. And the other person says, well, what did He say? He that is of God hears God's voice. He said that to Daniel. He told him, the wise will understand. In other words, it is for the wise. It is for the elect of God. Now, notice, also here in this message, there is a place on page 32. It says in this message, the Feast of the Trumpets. It says, Pentecost feast finishes at the period of the seventh trumpet, for the next is the coming of seventh seal, for the next is the mystery of the coming of Christ, and also the trumpet is sound for the Jews. Their sixth trumpet is sound, and when it does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God. 1/2 hour of space. Remember, all trumpets sound on this sixth seal. The sixth seal finishes the mystery. Under the sixth seal, just before the seventh is open. And he writes, between the sixth and seventh seal, and between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Now, our brother William continues to say, for the time of 1/2 hour, the heavens were silenced. These things that take place at that time are revealed to the elect of God in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. Which things? All these things, notice, are revealed to the elect of God. Because in every age, the message of that age is revealed to the elect. And they are called in that age with that message. And the rest of the world does not know what is taking place in God's program. In the message, souls that are in prison now, tells us on page 41-42. Page 42 on paragraph 299. One of these days, if you haven't already, you'll cross that line. You'll never desire no more to do what's right. Did you hear what I said? It is a matter. Brother, sister, do you realize what's being said? You'll cross that line. And you'll never want to do it. Notice, those are very heavy words, because then the time comes when that person will not have the desire to do what is right. Once they reach that point, there is no turning back. You still hear the gospel, sure, but you never accept it. You can't accept it. But the gospel will be preached to the doomed. Those that are eternally lost can't get saved no more. You're already in that spot and don't know it. You think you're living in pleasure and dead while you're alive. Oh, listen. All those who rejected the message of the hour before doom, the gospel was preached to the doomed first before they went without mercy. And there to the right, he writes Revelation 10:1-7. Noah shut up. That is, he was silent. Was a testimony. And he writes, silence for 7 days. God shut the door after his third pull. And to the right, he writes, Noah, the door. After the third pull, and there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. After his third pull at Sodom, the doors were shut. There was no more mercy. The 10 couldn't be found. And the lost had the gospel preached that could not be saved because it was just. Being that way in every age reject the message before judgment. Have they done it again? Is that appearing in the pillar of fire down here on the river? Is that appearing along in the message of cutting the women and throwing the places where it should be? And rebuking those ministers who take the place with the denominations instead of staying on the word? When God had truly vindicated that it's Him and not some poor, ignorant, unlearned thing like a man. It's God. And we have now come to the spot that the third pull would return again to the lost eternally. And to the right, he writes, third pull, and a cornerstone in the ages. Was that what that vision was given me as a little bitty boy out yonder? And I have went west, and there is the golden cross of the gospel shining down. Has declared a sign from the heaven, just exactly. Remember, the cross was in a panoramic, like a pyramid, also built, see? Could it be that it's the head part where it's ended, and started from here and come up to the headship? Like the pyramid come up to Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then the capping of the stone. Could it be that? If that's it, where are we at? I hope it isn't, but it's got to be. It's got to be. Just remember, the ministries has to. They always dovetail just the same with the other one. It has to come and God don't change. Think of it. Bite your conscience with your spiritual teeth and find out where we are at. Look, bite your conscience. In other words, be aware. Bite yourself to see if it won't hurt. Bite there to see. There are some Puerto Rican words used there, but we must look first the meaning. But you understand. Well, we'll correct. I just remember one. Bite your conscience with your spiritual teeth and find out where we are at. What if it is and you're still the way you are? Then you might as well walk. You're finished. Then that's outside. After the book was taken by the Lamb, the sixth seal is revealed and all the seals is over. It could be. I hope it isn't. It could be. All right. There to the right, he writes the sixth seal. There's a place here that he also tells us that in the third pool, notice, in the third pool, they will have to recognize him. On page 39, at the paragraph 277, he says, And notice when the third pull of his ministry come, the first was the healing the sick. The second was the rebuking of their organizations and prophesying what they had done, what they were, and what was coming. What is, will come. And what is, and what will come, that's what he done. Is that right? But his third pull was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. They were down there where them big painted eyes was. Preached to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God. But yet, they had to recognize it, what he was, because God made him there. And he draws a Star of David to the side. And he writes, in the third pool, they had to recognize him. Now notice, which was, or where was, that they did not accept that mercy, or the way that God was fulfilling it. Notice, here also on page 43, it says, Noah went in, then after 7 days, and he writes 7 ages, and he draws a cornerstone and he writes 7 thunders. Then after 7 days, nothing happened, see? And on the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes, the last peak is the third pool. In the 7 days the judgment come. If only, listen now, in closing, if only in Noah's time, they would knew that sign. And you can search in the book of quotations where it says, the greatest sign that God sends to the earth is a prophet. Now notice how he comes. If they would have only known that sign, the world in that day, that God proved here by the reading of the scripture a while ago, he destroyed them people, not without mercy. Mercy was sent to them by a prophet. They wouldn't believe it. God is merciful, but he sent mercy. How? By sending his prophet. But they wouldn't receive it. See? He always sends mercy first. There he draws Star of David to the right. What if they would have known that sign was the end time sign? And he writes at the bottom, mercy was sent by a prophet. And in the book of the seals, he tells us, Moses and Elijah, he who receives his message receives mercy. And when they seen, all at once, salvation lit up. Nobody see. Just the first thing you know, the door was closed. There was only one person know that sign. That was Noah and his group. That was the only one knowed. When that door swung together, Noah knew it. Noah knew that was the finish. He knew it. That's right. If you only knew the sign. Today there is a group of people who have recognized that sign, together with the messenger. Just like in the time of Noah. Because he said that it would be like in the days of Noah. Therefore, if it is like the days of Noah, there has to be a prophet and there has to be a people to identify that sign, to receive that mercy for the last time. Now look, what he continues to say here in this message. Let us pause here in the one we are just reading of looking beyond the sunset, and in this message, the ministries of Moses and Elijah operating at the end of time, it tells us, We are at the time in which at any moment this prophetic event will occur of the ministries of Elijah and Moses. In other words, there he was speaking in 2013 that he is waiting for that moment, and we were waiting for that moment, for that great prophetic event. In other words, the things that would be happening in that half hour of silence, that prophetic event, operated by the Holy Spirit at the end of time for Israel and the seventh seal for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seventh seal for which there was silence when it was opened in heaven. And if there was silence and it was not revealed, we have to wait for the fulfillment of that event in heaven, for it to then be open to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice in 2009, he had told us that it hadn't begun yet. And here in 2013, he's still telling us that we have to wait for the fulfillment of that event. Which event? The event of the seventh seal of the half hour of silence, for to then be open to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to wait a little bit of time. And meanwhile, to be working in all the projects that are appointed to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for her to carry out at this end time. On this page, 21 of Souls That Are in Prison Now, which was the one we read from a few minutes ago, notice on this page 21, tells us on paragraph 136, and remember in that sixth seal, where all seven trumpets sound under that sixth seal. When we get to that, you'll see that. Every seventh trumpet took place in that sixth seal. The seven is always the mystery. Watch that seven, that's the finish. That was the coming of the Lord. Heaven was quiet, silent, nobody moved. Notice with the opening of that seal, there is silence in heaven. Nothing moved. He says, the angels quit harping. There was no activity in heaven. And notice they want to switch the scene over to heaven, where the scene is on earth. No, it's because he is up there doing a work. Look at how that lying spirit tries to inject into the people, switching the scene from earth to heaven. And God has it from heaven to earth. The action is on earth. In heaven there is silence. Everyone is in expectation, looking this way and listening. Today they are hearing and seeing this activity. On page 540 on the Book of the Seals, notice the breaking of the seal was so great that heaven was hushed by it in silence for that space of half an hour. Do you see the event? And he said there, we have to wait for that event to come so we can see what it is. Now, it's great. What is it? It was hush, heavens. There wasn't a thing move for a half hour. Now, a half hour might not be long if you're having a good time, but in suspense of between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. And he writes millennium suspense. And he also writes half hour. And to the left, there, he draws a cornerstone and a star of David. It was so great. Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. No, he was forbidden to write here. See, he didn't write it, but this is silence. And the 24 elders that stood before God, there harping with their harps, they quit playing their harps. And the angels hushed their singing in heaven. In other words, nothing. Think, the holy cherubims and seraphims that Isaiah saw in the temple with their three sets of wings, two over his face, two over his feet, and flying. And he's day and night there before God singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And even when they walked in or come into the temple, the posts of the temples moved with their presence. And these holy seraphims hushed up. Angels quit singing. Woof. Flying in the presence of God, singing, "Holy, holy, holy," they shut up. No angels singing, no praises. No altar service. Now, there was no worship, but God is a subject of worship. No nothing. There was silence, hushed, deadly silence in heaven for half an hour. All the host of heaven was silent for this half hour, when this seventh seal mystery in the book of redemption was broke open. Think of it. But it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it. Which? The elect of God have that reverential fear. And they go on walking carefully. There's a place where it says that they walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod, referring to people. And they speak foolishly. They speak things that later on their repentance will not reach God. They, notice there it says that they cry to the mountains, to the rocks. That is, he wrote there the rulers, the presidents, the mayors, individual among the people with positions. That is, where they'll seek refuge is in those places. Because they spurned, he says, they mocked the word that had come incarnate. Page 424. Now, if heaven was filled with that reverential fear, on earth, the elect of God are also feeling that reverential fear. And they are walking carefully, cautiously, steadfast, aware of where they are today, which is the most holy place, which is the age of the cornerstone, which is where the presence of God is in the midst of the people. That is, they wrote it for me there. God's power to transform on page 30. They walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod. And notice, that refers to speaking. Look at how the angels, everything stopped singing. There was no movement. Yet people are then speaking against the divine program. Those are the hobnailed shoes. God's power to transform, page 30. Brother Branham says, it's also an old proverb that fools will walk with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod, certainly. And there, he writes, hobnailed shoes. Now notice, he continues to say here, you know what? They were awed by it, I believe. They didn't know there it was. They just stopped. Why? What is it? There to the right, he writes, half hour. He also writes Revelation 15:1, 8:1-5. Half hour. He wrote that twice, half hour. and a cornerstone in the ages. Now, he continues to say here, I'm on page 20 of Souls That Are in Prison Now, page 22 on this message. It says, then it wasn't revealed when that seventh trumpet sounded or seventh angel seal was open. Then there was silence in heaven. See, it wasn't give away what would take place. See, there are things that would happen in the opening of the seventh seal under that work, under that opening of the seventh seal in heaven, which already occur. And silence was made in heaven. In other words, an event and things happened. But under the sixth seal, where these trumpets opened, remember, under there, we find out that the Lamb come forth, appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. And he come forth and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and time was no more. And immediately an angel appeared in the seventh chapter, or the tenth chapter and the seventh verse, saying, this angel came down and swore that time was no longer. But you see, in this book was what was redeemed. It was the book of redemption, and everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. All that he died for was written in the book, and he could not leave his mediatorial seat until he had truly redeemed, as he couldn't redeem it at the cross, because they were predestinated in the Lamb's book of life. And he had to stay on there to make intercession until the last person was finished. Glory. And he writes, the book of life is the seals. And on the last person was finished, there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. But one day he rose from there, come forth. Where was the book at? It was still in the abstract owner, God Almighty. And John looked around, and he wept, because there was no man even worthy to look on the book and, specially, open the seals to reveal what the hidden mystery was. The mysteries was in the seven seals. When this seven seals was opened, that opened up the entire Bible. The seven seals, it was sealed with seven mysteries, and in these seven seals held the entire mystery of it. And it was the book of redemption, New Testament. Not the old. It only proclaimed for the New Testament. They have been made, cannot be made perfect without us. Hebrews 11. And he writes, the seals is the New Testament. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in this message, the ministries of Moses and Elijah operating at the end of time, he says, and in the third pool, which will be fulfilled in a great tenth cathedral, there, what we need to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb will be revealed. Well, if you want to be transformed and raptured, then he's telling you where to receive everything you need to be transformed and raptured. And in the third pool, which will be fulfilled in the great tenth cathedral, there what we need to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb will be revealed. The glory of God will be manifested among His people, His church, and therefore the presence of Christ, the pillar of fire, the Holy Spirit, will become a reality, manifesting Himself, bringing the fulfillment of what is promised to carry out the fulfillment of the tenth vision. He said, if at that time we have time to go around and make a trip, we will have it. We will do it, he said, under that time of the tenth. And any person may say, but he went on tours. But notice, he said, under that tenth ministry. I thank God that He has allowed us this time to go out on tours, and we hope that it will not be the last one. But we will go as far as He has it in his program. If I returned to Chile, I had told Jose to at least visit him and some other places. So, be praying that God will allow us to be in some places here in Chile. He said, well, if there is time and things can still be done. Remember that every time it will squeeze tighter and tighter. But for as long as God allows us, we will be stretching forth the cords all the way from Puerto Rico and covering every place we go. The tent reaching the countries, the third pool, because it is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, let's be on the lookout and always working and having our eyes wide open, because something great is promised to be fulfilled in the midst of the believers in Christ. How he had to stay quiet and not say anything and keep that secret. Because notice how well he kept it. And how he also looked after that secret even from a young age. The believers in Christ have a great promise of a great blessing for this end time. And those who love his coming will see him. They will see that manifestation of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, in the midst of his church. Those who what? Those who love his coming will see him. That's why you're here. That's why there is a group of people tuned in. Because he said that those who love his coming would see him. Those who do not love his coming will not be tuned into the tent, nor will they be in the activities. They will have their tabernacles on the side. Those don't love his coming. As simple as that. But the elect of God love his coming. They love the message of the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, the Reverend William Branham, and they love the message of Dr. William Soto Santiago. Loving the message when what they foreran appeared. Then they will say, Lord, I love you. I receive you as my claimer. And those are the people for whom he has come at this end time, to gather them together in the storehouse in the age of the cornerstone, and to be prepared to be transformed, to give them what they need. The bride hasn't had a revival yet, Brother Branham said. He'll take those seven thunders to wake her up. He'll send them. He has sent them, as he promised it. And there is a church that would be waiting for his coming, because before the foundation of the world, he loved you, and you love him as well. In other words, those who love his coming are the ones who would receive his coming. They would receive that seventh seal being opened in the prophetic events contained in that half hour of silence. Now, in the message, Looking Away to Jesus, it tells us on page 21, he says on this message, what was it? Just exactly according to the word of the Lord that was, amen, that's the fifth time. He's referring to the five manifestations of the power of God, which was shown in the Reverend William Branham. Five is the number of grace, a number of F-A-I-T-H, too. And he writes fifth time. There is no more doubt in my mind. I know what the third pool is. And he draws Saul of David to the left. And I know what it does. He said it there. He said, a human in this world will never know it. In the book of quotations, when he's talking about the 10th vision, and in the book of the seals, he said, I saw him standing there. He says, I have to go fishing. Lord, I can't tell them what the prophet saw. Brother William wrote there. What did he see? He saw his coming. He saw what Peter, James, and Joshua saw on Mount Transfiguration when the countenance of the Lord was altered. He recognized him in the vision when he was shown to him, and he went down to the little room that was in 56. But notice, in the opening of the seals, when he's opening the sixth seal, when he sees it, he remembers what he has seen in the little wooden room. He saw the ministry of the second coming of the Lord there. And when he sees the seventh seal, oh, he says, but of course, the one of the feast of the trumpets, recognizing your day and its message, when he preached those messages and he brought us that great revelation, where he spoke and said, well, it's the same thing. The seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord to the church, is the seventh trumpet, Moses and Elijah, to Israel. Because the church was about to be raptured. Therefore, he comes for his church. And notice that is when the Hebrew people will say, this is the one. This is the one we are waiting for. He is the same I am, the same one that the Hebrew people will soon receive as well. I know what the third pool is, and I know what it does. Now be reverent, just keep quiet. The hour will soon arrive where God is going to do some great things for us. And all of that is in the content of the half hour of silence. Now, continuing in the first message that we are reading from Looking Beyond the Sunset, our brother William says, and that's how it is in the age of the cornerstone. Only those who will be in the age of the most holy place of the spiritual temple of the Lord Jesus Christ will realize, will understand what is happening. In other words, those in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom in a new dispensational day. Come up hither to the age of the cornerstone, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Now notice that those who do not understand and comprehend automatically, they cannot be placed in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. Even though they may say they are in the cornerstone, even though they may say he told us that we were in the cornerstone. What it is for us to have that revelation from heaven, because by you being connected with the tent, and are here, that identifies you as a living stone from the most holy place of the spiritual temple of the Lord. As a church, notice, which is where the fullness of God is. In the temple of Solomon and in the tabernacle of Moses, where was the Shekinah of that place? In the most holy place. Upon the mercy seat between the two cherubims. And from there, he said to Moses, from there I will declare myself everything I have to speak to the children of Israel. Well, he is declaring himself from the most holy place at this end time, speaking to the church bride all things that the Holy Spirit is carrying out in the half hour of silence. So we can see the things that will take place after the seven Gentile church ages, which are the things that we will be looking at beyond the sunset. Beyond the sunset, we have the great blessings that he has promised for all the children of God. Beyond the sunset, we will have the manifestation of all the things that he has promised to all the children of God. What lays beyond the sunset is the sunrise of the Son of Righteousness on the morning of a new dispensational day. Notice on page 166 on the Book of Quotations, Paragraph 1476. Paragraph 1476 says, that gives us to know if he is interested to speak the word of life, into a little insignificant fish laying there dead on the water for half hour. He can certainly someday speak life into his children. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall arise. And that manifestation of the power of God, of those five manifestations that God showed through the Reverend William Branham, in which that little fish resurrected, notice that represents the resurrection of those who have departed. By the spoken word of a prophet, that little fish resurrected. And by the spoken word of a prophet at this end time, the dead will resurrect, and we will see them, and will be transformed. To feel that change, the gray hair will go out, the wrinkles will fall away, to see our parents. Oh, to see my dad. And your dad, and some of your dads. To see your dad. Wouldn't that be joyful or moments of rejoicing? Therefore, when that squeeze comes down, don't get scared. Because great things will be happening. There is where you must hold on stronger to the word and to be in expectation, with your eyes fixed on heaven, on the eternal things, because you know that at any moment they will appear. The way the situations are in the world and everything moving around, and you're in expectation, and everybody might be paying attention to other things, but you're in expectation. It has to appear soon. It has to appear soon. I have to get ready. I have to prepare myself. I have to keep getting myself in order, because I want, when I see him, I want to be ready to be transformed also. Therefore, it is not a moment of sadness. It is a moment of joy, of happiness. And we thank God who has given us this time and who has helped us day by day, for we are humans. Elijah was a man subject to passion as we are. But notice, James says that he prayed to God and spoke the word that there should be no rain. And there wasn't. There wasn't. But then by the word of that prophet, there was rain. By the word being spoken, those who have departed will be resurrected. And by the spoken word, we will be transformed. God has done everything by his word from the beginning. Heavens and earth and everything was created by his word. Our theophanic bodies were created by his word. And our eternal and glorified body is being prepared, is being created. And you say, but how? Didn't he say that Abraham and Sarah were rejuvenated around the word? See? That word starts making a change. And you say, but I have not been. I'm not like I was yesterday. And much less like the day before. And even less like the day before that. And even less than a year ago. I still need to change. Of course, you recognize it. And that's the important thing for you to recognize it. For you to recognize that you have to change things. That day by day, thoughts come to you. You encounter many situations in the street, at work, but you are conscious of one goal. Lord, help me. I want to hit that target. I want to become, to be like you, Lord. And God is going to help you. And every time you're about to take a wrong step, Oh, and if you take it, don't worry, there is a hand here. As he said, Peter, don't sink. He gave him his hand and didn't let him sink. God will never let you sink. And even if your brain says you're running out of oxygen, you're going under, and you don't stand a chance. You send a super command up there. And keep breathing. Keep breathing. You are not a castaway. You're a swimmer and a good one. And when you come out, I came out of that one. And you're floating on the surface. Don't let yourself be overcome by negative thoughts. Cast them aside. In the name of the Lord, I rebuke you. And keep moving forward. And God will always help you. I remember once, in Puerto Rico, there were baptisms. And Brother Miguel was baptizing. And he said, look, tell William I have to come out, because there were a lot of people. And I have to go to the restroom. Imagine, with the water, I don't know if it was cold there. And Brother William said, no, tell him to finish the baptisms himself. Brother Miguel says, I'm not sure if it was like this. I sent the command to my brain, and I didn't feel like going anymore. In other words, notice, he set an example there that it's possible. You send a command to the brain and tell it, no, I am not defeated. I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, can do all things through the Anointed One who strengthens me. And you keep going on. Don't be afraid nor dismayed. Now notice, he continues to say here, he can certainly someday speak life into his children, no matter if your body be no more than a spoonful of dust. He'll speak and will answer him someday. See? And he says, he writes there at the bottom, he will speak life into his children. And above he writes, the resurrection of the elect. And he also writes, represented in the resurrection of the little fish. Half hour of silence. And he writes, Christians equals fish. He wrote that there as well. Now he continues to say, now notice, let us see if in the message we will look it up later on. There is a message that he spoke about the resurrection of the little fish. You can write it down there. It is in the one, I have heard, but now I see. And also the one of escape hither, come quickly. Later on, we will find it. There are two places there where he talks about the resurrection of that little fish and what represents. But notice, he says, he continues saying, looking beyond the sunset is looking at the rising of the Sun of Righteousness on the morning of a new dispensational day, to see everything that was said that Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant, would do in his coming. In the message, there is a man here that can turn on the light. On page 24, which is an excerpt that is found in the book of quotations, check and see if it's 118. Because I have the booklet here. This was the dream that Billy Paul had. And let us turn there. Which shows us some of the things that would be taking place. Notice, this dream, at the end he says that it's a dream sent by God. It says here on page 24 of the message, and here it's in excerpt 1050 of page 118. My son Billy Paul, he talks in his sleep, but he doesn't have dreams very often. He had one the other night that shook him up. At the top he writes, in quotations, he wrote, Billy talks in his sleep. Said he dreamt he was in a church, and they hadn't come in yet. Said when I come in, fire was flying out of the eyes. And here in the book of quotations, he writes Moses and Elijah. And I said, the time is here, it's over. And everybody began screaming, I can't, my children. And even my wife said, I can't get Sarah to ask the blessing at the table, and so forth. And I said, he said, I've got to get Lois and the baby. Here in the booklet to the left, he writes, time is over. And he draws Star of David, and he writes Revelation 10, 1 to 6. I said, Lois can't come now. The baby is too young to know, Billy. The hour is here. We must go. I said, it's midnight now, before daylight. Jesus will be here. And here in this booklet he writes, it is at midnight. If it isn't, then I'm a false witness of Christ. And here to the right he writes, Revelation 19, 12 and 1, 14 and 10, verse 1. He wrote that in the booklet. And he writes, fire in the eyes of the prophet. Remember the message, the eyes of God running to and fro throughout the earth? And somebody spoke up, said, no man knows the minute or hour. I never said minute or hour. I said, sometime between now and daylight. Here in the book of quotations, he draws Star of David to the left. And he writes, of the millennium, 8th day. Let's go, I said. And I said, but we are at the time, let's go. And we got in the car and started. And we started up the mountain. And when we did, it was looked like the light was coming in the skies, but dark upon the earth. He said, I pulled off the side of the road and held my hands over like this, fire still flying from the eyes. And he said, I said, Lord, I have did this at your command. Remember, there he's showing, in other words, he's typifying that final ministry in which the ministries of Moses and Elijah were in the midst of the people, which is a symbol in Revelation chapter 1. His eyes as a flame of fire. I have did this just because that you told me to do it this way. And to the right he draws Star of David. I have did these things according to what you've told me. And I motioned to a big granite mountain And a light without hand cut a stone out of the mountain, weighing hundreds of tons, and here it comes. I said, turn your heads, don't look. It'll all be over just in a few minutes. Said then a great holy hush come everywhere as this stone come towards the place. And there in the booklet he writes, the stone cut out without hand equals the second coming of the Lord. That is the final ministry, the ministry that the Reverend William Branham saw in that little wooden room, where he writes there, it is the ministry of the second coming of the Lord. And he writes silence, and he draws a cornerstone. Here in the book of quotations, he writes the half hour of silence, dash, Revelation 8, 1. That is to the right side, he wrote it. He also drew a Star of David there. And here, notice, he continues to say, it may be later than we think. There, see, that's exactly scriptural, you see? The stone without hands cut out of the mountain. And so one of these days is going to be that way, when you're going to scream for something. I said to them, you've already had that time. God has constantly warned you, time after time. Yep, I said, even if it is my own kid, or whoever it is, the hour is here. I can only say what he's told me to say, and it'll be there, and it was. And then, all of a sudden, here he come, the stone cut out of the mountain without hand. Daniel saw that, you know, back many years ago. Billy knowed nothing about that. But it was a dream sent to him from the Lord. And he drew a Star of David there at the end. Now, here also, he writes there, between nighttime and daylight, Jesus will be here before daylight. And many other writings that you already have. We have already read them in a few times. But now notice, he goes on to say here, in this message, on this same message, there is a man here that can turn on the light. On page 39. He says, I could tell you things that would shake you, see? It's there when he says, it's there. There's a place where he says that, he'll say, here I am. In other words, when that stone came down, he said, it's later than we think, Billy. And that stone, notice in that dream, is the second coming of the Lord. And he'll say, here I am. Now notice, if you can find that place in the book of quotations. In this message, be certain of God. On page 6, he tells us, then come back again and say, let us see here, just a bit before this. I'm sure that I'm speaking to people this morning who has come to that place. I've been there many times myself when I've went back and traced my life and turned over every stone and I find that I've did something wrong. And I go confess it and say, Lord God, I'll make it right, and go and do so. Now, if it is already corrected, don't go digging back in into it again. That's already passed. It's already corrected, and we move forward. We continue persevering. If you bring up things about a brother, you will have them on your hand. Then come back again and say, Now, Lord, Thou art God. You'll answer me. Surely I met every request that You required me to do, and every requirement I have met it, and still He won't move, seems to sit silent. And he draws Star of David, and he writes, Silence. That's when you got to be sure that He is God. Don't be discouraged. The only thing is that in your heart, to be certain of God. When it seems that everything is silent, that nothing is happening, then he says that there is where you have to be sure that He is God, that He is the I Am, who is in the midst of the people. Page 130 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1153. It says, the ministry will be Moses and Elijah, changing and calling Israel from the Jewish tradition. Listen, from the Jewish traditions that they had been mixed up in. Being prophets, they'll believe him, just like you have believed. The Hebrew people will also believe, calling them to the Feast of the Atonement, Christ, letting them recognize Christ. They'll say, He is coming. He'll be here. The Jews will be gathering things like that. And then when He comes, say, Here I am. It is like when you play with your grandchildren. Everybody's laughing because they know that. We do like, Where's Dad? Here I am. You have done that with your grandchildren also. You do this. And the happy that the grandchildren and the kids get, because they do know that someone who was hidden appeared. Their dad, or their mom, or their grandpa. But notice, he'll say, Here I am. Their understanding will be opened. The scriptures will be opened to them. He will take away that veil. No longer through a glass, darkly, but face to face, looking at what they were waiting for, what you are seeing today. On this occasion, we have seen this subject, the mystery that caused silence in heaven. A mystery that has been open to those who love His coming. It has been open to those who have received His coming. As I was telling Patricio and Sergio, who I saw, I don't know if I've spoken it on another occasion, the way I spoke it to him back then, I said to him, Thank you for receiving me. Notice, and the Latin American and Caribbean people, Thank you for receiving me. Because that was what was promised for the coming of the Lord to be to His church. and that there would be a people who would receive him and love his coming. Latin American and Caribbean people, we are about to go to the house of our Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do not be discouraged. If there is silence and nothing moves, don't worry. Be certain of God, because He is with you. He is with you every day of your life. In this great mystery of the seventh seal, the mystery that caused silence in heaven for about half an hour, the mystery that caused silence in heaven. It's been a great blessing for me to be here with you on this occasion, sharing these moments of fellowship to everyone there on the other hall, on the side, on the center. They put a little roof there so that everyone could see. But notice, perhaps the ones over there can see more clearly than those that are back here, because there they have a giant screen. That is that God has given us all these resources to have everything for the children of God, everything good and best for the people, so that they can be comfortable receiving everything that God has given us at this time. And you may say, but such a great thing being fulfilled in such a simple way? That is how God had it in His program. We have come up to the age of the cornerstone, as it says there, with reverence, that reverential fear. And we're not coming out of there. I'm referring to that part where He said, if that person had gone up the way he came down, it would have been different. He had come down the way He went up. We are up there. And God knows our heart. And He knows that that reverential fear fills us. And we know where we are at. And by being aware that that is the place where we belong to, well, there is no barriers. There is nothing impossible that you could ask God, according to His perfect will, for Him to do. Because you have loved His coming, the mystery that caused silence in heaven. Let us stand. And we thus leave with this subject that we have for today. I don't know if we have time to have a song and sing to the Lord while we stretch a little bit. And in that way, we can sing and glorify God. Notice where God is receiving His praise. From here and wherever two or three are gathered in My name. Because there is silence in heaven. There is no activity. The activity is here. The joy is here. The revival is here. Therefore, let us sing a praise to our Heavenly Father. Standing before the fulfillment. I am standing before the greatest fulfillment of all the history. It is the second coming of Jesus with Moses and Elijah. I am standing before the greatest fulfillment of all the history. It is the second coming of Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Today, I walk in His Word. In the Word of the King, which the Anointed One is speaking to my heart. And in His message, I can see my transformation. Today, I walk in His Word. In the Word of the King, which the Anointed One is speaking to my heart. And in His message, I can see my transformation. And today, I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Amen. He saw. He says he saw something that was ministering there. He saw the pillar of fire talking to him. And he saw how it rested upon that little room. And he was with the angel. The angel was showing him. He said that that angel was Gabriel. And he showed him everything. Of course, he knew. When they went down there, the angel told him, don't say anything about this to anyone. Now notice that when they saw, I say they because they were both there watching, everything that the Holy Spirit was carrying out there in that place. And then they went down. They saw a man. The pillar of fire. Speaking there. But notice. He has always spoken by an instrument. They saw the ministry of Jesus being manifested. The ministry of the second coming of the Lord being manifested there. That's the mystery that caused silence in heaven. The pillar of fire. The pillar of fire that's from here, from Chile, that song. I don't know if Luis Young is around here. If he can come over here. We can sing that song. The pillar of fire. He sang it in Puerto Rico. And I accompanied him to sing that song. So, let us accompany Luis Young in that song, The Pillar of Fire. There is a beautiful atmosphere this morning. Or in this afternoon already. Tomorrow? What time is it in Puerto Rico? Oh, same? It's already 1. Over there, what time is it? What time is it here? 1:30. So over there is 12:30. But you can feel the beautiful atmosphere here in this place. And notice how the word carries out the work. The word is spoken, and notice how the people are united, being in one feeling, leaving differences and leaving everything aside. We are one body. Don't you think that in the millennium you will have a little space in a corner? No. We are kings and priests, and we will all rule together for the millennium and eternity. So, here we are learning how to unite. As he said, this is my right hand. The right hand can't tell the left, I'm going to cut you away because you're not my right hand. You're my left hand and I'll keep it there. Notice, it's the one that you best care for because whoever is right-handed, if you notice, it's prettier than the right hand. You take better care of it, see? And those who are left-handed, well, their right hand looks better. So, well then, Ruth, your right hand is prettier. But notice, we are uniting together, uniting more and more, loving one another. Give me a church, the Lord said, a church anointed with the Holy Spirit, united through all the joints and everything in one body. And you will see the great things that God will do in the midst of you. I desire that here, just as the word has been ministered and the third pool has been spoken, which is the word, which is the teaching, which is the preaching of the thunders, and you have received it and you have heard it and desire for God to do great things and wonders in this place as well, and in every congregation here in Chile. Stay united. Keep persevering. Always keep holding on to the word, because you have the pillar of fire guiding you towards the promised land of the new body, the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire, which spoke to Moses from that bush, that accompanied Israel through the wilderness and parted Jordan for them towards freedom. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people. The one who fought and overcame with his great strength and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his angel messenger, he's here today. He's still here today. Blessed be the Lord. The pillar of fire, glory to God, is speaking to us today through his instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God himself, the great I Am. The I Am. The YHWH. Letters through which in his first coming that name was pronounced, Jesus. And in his second coming, that name has been displayed in his church. He is our Jose or Joseph. He is YHWH. The pillar of fire, which will fill this great temple with glory. The one that will perform miracles and wonders is becoming incarnate in our lives today. The pillar of fire that was with Joshua before his people. The one who fought and overcome with his great strength and took them to the land of milk and honey. the pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in his angel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He's preparing us for our adoption. He's got himself, the great I am, the pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus. Today in Jose, or Joseph, which was in his angel messenger. He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through his instrument. He's preparing us for our adoption. He's got himself, the great I am. Who is the one that is preparing the people? It is the pillar of fire. It is the Holy Spirit. Let him come into your life, into your heart. You can keep playing it. And he will do things that you'll say, it's impossible for me to change. But let him come in. If you don't open the door, he's there knocking, saying, let me in. Surrender to him. Leave pride aside. Leave hatred aside. Leave resentment aside. And may that pure love of this age of the cornerstone emerges in your heart. With that two-edged sword, break every yoke, every negative thing. May every spiritual and physical sickness be broken. Oh Lord, move at this time and work in your Latin American people as you promised that you would. We know that a time is coming and it won't be any sooner or any later, but at the time you have it in your program. But before that time of transformation comes, Lord, help me. Help me make it. Help me persist. Help me persevere. I have been placed on this path, and it was said that this path was hard, that it was difficult. But as a mighty one of the Son of David, and with your help, I will reach the goal. As he said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, for I am with you. Latino people, fear not. The pillar of fire is with you. African people, fear not. God is with you. People of Israel, fear not. God is with you. And we will reach the goal. And we will reach that promised land of the new body and the promised land of the glorious millennial kingdom, where every tear will be wiped away. And It will be an eternal joy then. Until that moment comes, Lord, help your church. Help your people. Help me to continue moving forward with the people marching together towards the promised land of the new body. May God bless you. May God keep you. And continue on persevering without dismay. The land is ours, and no one will snatch it out of our hand. It's yours. It has already been claimed. All that is left is for you to believe it. For you to say, it's mine. No one will take it out of my hand. Keep persevering. We're almost there. We're almost there. We don't have much left to go. Don't fall behind. Don't be discouraged. We're already reaching the goal. You're an overcomer. Therefore, you will make it. Who loves His coming? We all love His coming. And that promise is for those who love His coming. Give Him the opportunity. Open your heart to Him. And you will see how He will open up the full picture to you. If there is an unbeliever who has not yet seen, in other words, an unbeliever of the word of what God is doing, we pray for him. May God open his spiritual eyes. If it is in his program, nothing is impossible for God. So, it has been a great privilege and a great blessing for me to be with you here. People who I love wholeheartedly and sincerely. Let us leave with us right away our dear brother and friend who we are waiting for, because he will come also in its due time. And by us seeing them, we will be transformed. May God bless you and keep you. We thus leave with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.